This morning we're going to engage in something I call fire communion. And the ushers have given you all two slips of paper and a pencil. And if you don't have those things, could you raise your hand and the ushers will get them to you. So on those little slips of paper, I'm going to ask you to write something which you would seek to unburden yourself of. One slip is for letting go of the old, and the other slip is for a hope for the new. We have, through the readings, begun to think about relinquishing old hurts, our control about an uncertain future, and opening to a trust that will allow us to fall into the heart of the world, learn to fly, or have our feet on solid ground. But first comes the act of letting go. And so I invite you to write on that first piece of paper that which you would unburden yourself of and that which you would like to put behind you. And I'll give you a few moments of silence in which to write those words. And now, having unfettered yourselves from those burdens, I invite you to take a leap of faith, to fly into your new hope for the future. What if you knew you could not fail? Where does your imagination take you? What vision comes to mind? I invite you to write that on the second slip of paper. You now have a cleansing and a prayer. I invite you now to, I would like you to come up the center aisle to exit through the sides, go around the back and come up through the center aisle and place your slips of flash paper into the fire, into the burning bowl. So go out and around to the back and then come up the center and return to your seats. From your spirit and cease to trouble you. May you be relieved and renewed, ever mindful that love is always more powerful than fear, and that compassion is the key to freedom from resentment. May your hope for the new be your commitment and your prayer. May it offer guidance and direction as you take your first steps into the new year. May it provide the means for your soul to take flight. The countdown has begun. The ball is about to drop. Church bells are ringing out midnight. We hold our breath as time stands still. The end of one year and the beginning of a new. A time of looking back, a time of looking forward. Janus was the god of beginnings and transitions in Roman mythology. He usually was depicted as having two faces, looking in opposite directions, one toward the past and the other toward the future. January is Janus's month. As we stand on the cusp of the first day of the first month, we call on Janus and whatever gods there may be to bring us a happy and healthy new year. We don't need to ask for an interesting one. Vesta was the Roman goddess of the hearth and home. Remember the Vestal virgins who watched over the eternal flame? Traditionally, fire has been the element that connects our world with the divine realm. While Janus was evoked at beginnings, the goddess Vesta was honored at endings. Beginnings and endings were sacred times for the ancients. Sometimes we forget just how important and unsettling these events may be. They may require of us major sacrifices and commitments. As this new year began to approach, I started looking back through my calendars. I have them going back to 1995. As a minister and a religious educator, I had a set calendar. In fact, for about 30 years, as I progressed from a part-time religious educator to a full-time minister of religious education, and then to a position as associate minister, my daily, weekly, and monthly calendar was full and predictable. And my calendar this year was also well established and predictable through the end of June. But starting July 1st, there was nothing but a vast, unknown territory. On old maps, you might have read, "Here be dragons." Holding those uncertain maps in hand, ancient, courageous explorers and sailors ventured into those uncharted waters. Many were fully expecting to fall into the abyss, and some, in fact, never returned. But those who did brought back tales of extraordinary people, new lands, and untold riches. Just about 2 years ago, I announced to the Montclair UU congregation that I would be concluding my ministry there. This year, it really happened. We moved. We let go of so much to make this move. We got rid of many possessions. We sold our beautiful house in a lovely neighborhood. I gave up my work and my identity and the people of that congregation that I loved very dearly. We pledged to go, dragons or no. This year has been a big letting go on the personal, national, and congregational levels. In January, we said goodbye and thank you to President Barack Obama. Did you know that Americans have named him the most admired man in the world for the last 10 years? We had to let go of our Unitarian Universalist Association president, Peter Morales, and some of his top staff over hiring practices and charges of white supremacy. That is something else we had to let go of, our pride at being leaders in the fight against racial injustice. For some, this year has been a letting go of other things, a grudge, regrets, extra pounds, self-righteousness, bitterness, people-pleasing, maybe a loved one, or a job that carries with it a sense of identity. Letting go is hard to do. We have to release and live with instability. Then there's a feeling of floating in the void. It's a feeling of being untethered, and we want to make it to shore as quickly as possible. Do you remember your teenage years when the task, the developmental stage, was the formation of your identity? Much of the time, teens feel as if they are living in the void. It's hard work, and teens are not known for their pleasant or even predictable attitude. It is a shifting time because they are in the process of finding out who they are. But at some point, we settle down into adulthood, and if we are conscious, we claim the identity. and we come to know and accept ourselves. That takes years of work. And then when we get there, something else happens that once again sets us adrift, just like that trapeze. The interim minister that I worked with in Montclair used to quote Mao Zedong, "Everything under the heaven is in utter chaos. The situation is excellent." What? How could he say that? Maybe he meant that unless things are stirred up, we just keep doing things in the same old way. It takes a wake-up call for us to change our ways. And after the letting go, then something else comes into being. We can make new commitments. So we elected Donald J. Trump, and now everything really is in chaos. But it certainly has kept us from being complacent about our democracy. People are finding all sorts of ways to resist, and folks are organizing like never before to run new candidates and to get out the vote. Look what happened in Alabama. Right here in Long Beach, ICO is starting to test the waters to see if congregations will make a commitment to organize around several initiatives and candidates for the November election. At the UUA, we had three African Americans as interim presidents to guide us over the bridge to the election of our first woman UUA president, Susan Frederick Gray. Black Lives of UU are helping us examine the ways in which our association and our congregations, despite our best intentions, marginalize people of color. And you are about to bring in an interim minister who will guide you beyond rocky shores. This is still a period of healing, examination, and setting new directions. The interim period is intentionally designed to help you understand and examine the ways in which you have been doing things in the past, what you can keep on doing, and what you will need to change to move forward, to successfully navigate the future. You have no choice but to make a new beginning. You have to take this ship and set sail in a new direction. The waters may not be charted, the maps may be uncertain, but the ship is about to launch, and it will soon be time to set your sails against the wind and the tides. This will take effort, focus, and determination. Today's Fire Communion is one way to begin to align ourselves with the forces of life and nature that can be such a challenge. Together as a church, we can come to terms with our own human limitations and forgive ourselves for them. We can begin to come to awareness and acceptance. Together, we can be free to take the next step in our journeys, individually and collectively. And you know that our burdens will be shared. When we let go of the past, it's amazing what can come next. Imagination, vision, excitement, and passion. Where you thought there was something dormant and dead, now we find that there is new energy, new life. Something new is born. There is a spirit. I know, I feel it in this church. And I know that many of you do as well. A spirit that calls us and moves us. Open yourselves to it. Let everyone in this congregation join in that spirit together. If you do, you will be the ones returning from your travels with tales of extraordinary people and lands, having explored the vast, uncharted waters and discovered untold riches.